Welcome everybody to the Creator's Table podcast. I'm here joined with Logan Lewis with the Your Morning Drive podcast. Logan Lewis, he's a local entrepreneur, podcaster, and marketer, the host of the Your Morning Drive. He's podcast mainly from the community and interviews people with different backgrounds, business owners, community leaders, pastors, musicians, celebrities, podcasters, you know, kind of like what we're doing here. And he's also the owner of Hammerhead Creations, where he provides marketing solutions for small businesses on an affordable scale, such as social media management, content creation, consulting, video editing, and website design, and much more. So how are you doing, Logan? How's it going?
Hey, man. Thanks for that lovely intro. Everything is great. Things are fantastic. It's a lovely day, and I'm happy to be here.
So, like, why don't we every time we do a podcast, I always have a set questions that I like to ask. So, first off, why don't you just tell me, we kind of already know what you do, because that was a great introduction that we kind of got there, which kind of covered a lot of some questions, but what is it that you, let me think of the best way to word this, when did you start your podcast, and tell us a little bit about starting that?
Sure, man. Sure. So Your Morning Drive is just the most recent iteration of what my podcasting journey has taken me on. I have run the same podcast feed, per se, since, gosh, this May will be 7 years. So it's been a fat minute of me doing this thing. And it's been through different it's been through different phases or seasons, I guess, is the best way you can put it. Honestly, for the first 4 or 5 years of this puppy, it was just all movie talk. I would just get together with some friends and we would just, you know, we love movies and music and video games and all those pop culture things. So we would just get together once a week and talk about movies, and it kind of got to the point where it was hard to rely on other co-hosts and, nobody cares ultimately about your baby, about your business as much as you do. So I got to the point where I kind of wanted to reset and kind of just think about what I was really trying to do here. And throughout those few years of doing the entertainment kind of coverage, every once in a while, someone would say, "Hey, I want to be on your podcast. You should interview me." And so I would just release it as kind of like a one-off, like a spin-off kind of bonus episode here and there. And when I was thinking about restructuring what I wanted my podcast to be full-time, I kind of thought, you know what? I really do love interviewing people. I love talking to people. I love meeting people. So let's make it interview-focused. And I've done it that way ever since. And Your Morning Drive has been the name, the brand of the show ever since. And we're having a blast, man. So we've been doing it for... We've been doing Your Morning Drive in its current form for about a year and a half or so. We're loving it.
So like, what was the name of the podcast beforehand, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah. So and maybe you struggle with this, and also to the audience, you know that you and I will get along because we both possibly have podcast brain, where I think of five different things I want to say and I go off on a tangent. So please reel me back in if you need to. But
understood.
I rebranded a couple times before we hit Your Morning Drive. For a long time, the show was called The Binge Boys.
That's a good name. Yeah, I like that actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was The Binge Boys. It was, for a short amount of time, it was called Logan's Lowdown, which, looking back, wasn't great. It was called Hold On To Your Butts.
That's a good one.
If you can recite the movie that's from, you'll earn a couple extra points.
It should be Jurassic Park, right?
Yes, sir.
Good. You had me really questioning if I actually knew that or not, because I was like, I swear Samuel Jackson said that.
Oh, yeah. So Jurassic Park is my favorite movie of all time. So I thought,
amen.
When I started the podcast, I was like, well, I gotta do something Jurassic Park related. And Hold On To Your Butts was it. So it went through several different names, but Your Morning Drive is ultimately where we've landed.
So you said, you've been doing podcasting around 4 or 5 years now, right? 5 and a half, maybe.
So I did the Binge Boys, that kind of model, the hold on to your butts Binge Boys model was for that first 4 or 5 years. And Your Morning Drive has kind of taken the reins over the last couple. So altogether about six, 7 years. But the Your Morning Drive piece of it has been the last year or so.
Okay. Okay. I think this is very, it's very interesting because it seems like we have quite similar models in what our podcasts do. And I think we're kind of just categorized separately on maybe who we interview. Like I tend to, my podcast is more oriented to the, to kind of that artistic niche of people, you know, mainly creative people. That's what I like to say. That's why it's called Creator Table. So anybody who has like a creative idea or something that they're doing like that, that's because that's, I always like talking to those type of people, and I'm sure you do as well. But then my initial idea for mine, at least, was just the fact that I've heard a podcast where they interview people with like obscure jobs and stuff like that, and just finding out about that. And so it seems like I find it a very interesting topic, a very interesting thing to do. So is it, have you received a lot more positive feedback from Your Morning Drive compared to beforehand with your old podcast?
Absolutely. It was difficult because I love movies and TV and video games and all that stuff so much. So whether people kept giving me bad feedback or not, I was going to continue doing it. But
yeah,
I think people, you know, there's so much movie talk out there already that I think people just found it difficult to like, well, why would I listen to you? Whereas with the current model, and then similar to how you do it, when you're talking to real people, people seem to be drawn in. Not that, you know, everything we were talking about before wasn't real, but, you know, when I'm talking to a local business owner, or, you know, a local fire chief or a local podcaster such as yourself, I mean, people tend to be drawn into it because A, maybe they know that person and they're interested in learning more about them, or, you know, B, maybe they're, you know, looking for that kind of business to hire for something and they listen for that need, or maybe they just want to get to know the people that are living in the community around them. And so since I've kind of switched my formats to Your Morning Drive and with the whole interview kind of conversation format, the feedback has just been overwhelmingly like a big, it kind of, I'm not sure if you're a religious guy, but it was just kind of like a big thing where it was just like, you're on the right path, stay on this path. And I have.
Yeah. I totally see that. I feel like it's one of those things where you seem like a very creative person. I mean, if you've had 2 podcasts, I would say you're a creative person. Because that's probably something not very many people actually have said. I'm sure there's plenty of people who said, I want to have podcasts, but it's getting that motivation to actually do it. But I think it's like, clearly what you found with Your Morning Drive is something that you liked and you're passionate about, but also something that people clinged on to and like, I think that's cool. This is something I can put into my daily life. And it's what's really cool about podcasts, and people who listen to it don't think of it like this, but it's like, for us, it's like people being able to treat that like as a part of their day, or your morning drive, literally, is a really cool thing to think about.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, dude. I completely agree. And that's kind of what went into when I rebranded it away from the Binge Boys and Logan's Lowdown to Your Morning Drive. I was really trying to think about something like, okay, so if I'm going to be talking about everyday people and talking to everyday people, I want to find something that no matter what you are, whether you're a, you know, whether you're Dave Ramsey or maybe you're Elon Musk or, you know, the mayor of Cartersville, or, you know, Brian Kemp, or, you know, Lil Yachty, anybody, we all commute to a place to do our job. So I thought that Your Morning Drive made sense because most of us, whether you are a creative or a celebrity, I mean, everybody's getting in the car and heading towards somewhere to do the thing that they do every day. And Your Morning Drive just made sense. I was just throwing names because, you know, I'm sure you can relate to this. The name is the hardest part by far.
It is.
You could sit there and go crazy by just trying to think of the right brand and the right name and the right logo. Your Morning Drive just kind of, I was just throwing shit at the wall. Sorry.
Well, that kind of, there's one question. I always like asking this question because it's one thing that impacted me when I first started, because I've been doing like stuff online for a long time now, or maybe not a long time, just maybe not on a major level where I was really committing to it. But when I first started having people who I never met before contact me and be like, yo, when's the next episode coming out? Yo, when are you having a video coming out? That was crazy to me. I'm like, you're actually like waiting for an episode? You know, I thought this was just fun. So that leads me to my question of like, have you had people who are like fans? Like, have you heard? Do you think you have any cool fan experiences?
Yeah, dude. In fact, as soon as you started to ask your question, I thought of one circumstance. A year ago or so, I was in Las Vegas, me and my dad and brother and some of my cousins. We all take an annual guys trip to Las Vegas.
Heck yeah.
And we were out there and we were just walking through some random casino and some girl stopped me and she was like, hey, are you Logan? And I was like, yeah, I am. And she was like, oh my God, you interviewed my sister on your podcast.
Oh, that's crazy. Like,
oh, whoa, really? And she told me who her sister was. And I thought, oh my God, that's so crazy. I said, I can't believe you recognize me. And she said, oh, well, yeah. I mean, this was back when I was using Twitter a lot. I don't really use Twitter much anymore. But she was like, sure. I follow you on Twitter. And she pulled me up on her phone. And sure enough, she follows me. She was like, yeah, I follow you. And you interviewed my sister. I was like, wow. I walked away from that conversation just, honestly, dude, ego is hell. Like, ego through the roof. Like, I was with my family, you know, I was with my dad, who at the time didn't really, I don't know if he took my podcast thing seriously. So the fact that he was standing next to me when someone was like, hey, I know you, it was just a huge, just a really cool moment. Like you said, like some random stranger saying, hey, when's the next episode drop? Like, that's so cool to know that there's someone out there, because as a creative and as a podcaster, you're putting these episodes out. And, you know, especially when you're starting, you're lucky if 10 people hear it. I mean,
yeah,
it's just such a grind. And to get that validation from just a complete stranger, it's just everything, man.
Yeah, it's like podcasting, just one of those things where I've always wanted to do it. It's just one of those things where it can be difficult. I can see how it would be to get mass views. Which I don't think that's really what podcasting is about. I actually think it's more about the small community of people who listen. It's not about having like a million listeners. It's about having people who consistently listen. Whereas like other stuff, like let's say TikTok or something, right? You get a million views on a video and you'll still only have 200 followers, you know, and it's crazy. My point with that is, yeah, like I totally understand. It's one of those things where I can't even imagine, like, first off, being in Las Vegas would probably be the part that threw me off the most. Like, if I was just walking through somewhere, like a random Walmart in Cherokee County, like, I probably wouldn't be as shocked. But if I'm on almost the other side of the country and somebody has some sort of, like, knows me in some sort of way, like, that's extremely strange. But awesome.
Yeah, it was freaky because I was like, I think I literally said out loud to her, I was like, oh my God, am I dreaming? And she laughed and said, no, this is real life. I recognize you. And I was like, holy hell. Like, this is crazy. Like, and that was before even Your Morning Drive had started to become pretty popular. So the fact that this random chick that's followed me on Twitter and liked a couple of my tweets recognized me just also, and it was a casino and it was dark in the, I remember it being real dark in the room. So the fact that she recognized me honestly just speaks to her people skills. So shout out to her if she hears this, but
it's also a podcast.
It was so weird, man. And the fact that, I do video stuff too, but I mean the video stuff, obviously, I mean, it's really hard to get people to watch YouTube videos in full.
Yeah.
So just the fact that she recognized me from following me on social media was just a, just a really cool moment. And yeah, I mean, like I said, my ego just went through the roof. I was walking on, you know, I might as well have been 10 feet tall that day. I was just walking around like I was the baddest MF-er around, dude. Like I was I was like, dude,
you tested your luck on.
Oh, dude,
I you tested your luck on every slot machine.
Oh, dude, I threw it all on black.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, that's actually awesome. Well, yeah, I think that's really awesome, especially from my perspective. I'm like just starting this, so it's cool to hear a success story. It makes it, because you know you're like totally right. It's like when you first start, that's how it's kind of been. I mean, I've had people from my other accounts who were just like, oh, he's doing this now, so I'm gonna just go check that out. So I've had people like that, and shout out to those people. I've even had some people message me, be like, what's the next one coming out? And that's really cool to me. Maybe what's, if you were going to describe kind of what are typically the type of people who are listening to your podcast? Is it like across the board? Like, what's your demographic like? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And whenever people ask me that, that's a really hard question to answer, but I'll do it the best I can. So,
of course.
Because, and you'll probably relate to this too, as you continue growing and as you continue welcoming more guests on. But it's a lot of my viewing and a lot of my downloads and all those metrics, all of that depends on the guest I welcome. So for instance, I have been lucky and I have a pretty good variety of people that I get to talk to. I've talked to a few musicians. I've talked to a few pastors. I've talked to a few other podcasters. So typically the fans or the supporters of that person, those people all tend to flock and be a big supporter of that episode, but I don't always see that they're sticking around for, you know, all of the rest of the episodes. You know, like I always put myself in the position of a customer. So like when I go and listen to Joe Rogan, I only listen to Joe Rogan when he interviews a guest I care about. Otherwise, I don't really listen.
Yeah.
It's really hard to gauge who my people are, but most of the time, my listeners are in their mid-20s, mid-30s. They're a pretty good mix of men and women. Most of my guests actually have been female. So a lot of my listeners are female as well because, you know, girls support girls. We love that. But, you know, it's really just a wide range of people. I mean, I've had 60-year-olds listen. I've had my grandparents. I mean, it's really just random, honestly. I wouldn't say that I have like a one like specific niche of people. It's really just, you know, whoever supports whatever guest I welcome on that week, that's who's mainly listening, is their supporters or their fans.
Yeah, that I definitely feel that as well. It's kind of one of those things when you start something where you're interviewing people and that's like your main thing, is it's like you have people coming in and out of where you're listening to. So it's like people who are like, oh, I know this person. It's like, as much as I feel like, you know, as much as you want those people too, you also want those people who are just, I feel like who you really want are those people who are, not saying you don't want other listeners, but you really want those people who are also coming just because they want to learn about this new person.
Right.
And this new, like, kind of, almost like thing, almost way of life type thing. Like, I feel like podcasts like this are almost like therapeutic. Like, I don't know. It's like people who like to learn. Like, I like to learn, even though I don't like school. I do like to learn.
Dude, I relate to that on such a real level because I love learning, but I was never good at school. So that's also, I mean, selfishly why I do the episodes as well. I mean, I relate to how you set this conversation up with me in that you asked me for a bio and that's it. I mean, that's all you asked. I'm sure you did a little bit of research about me, but other than that, I mean, you're just letting the conversation flow, which is exactly how I run things on my show. And I like to learn along with the listeners. So I often tell people when I sit down with them is like, I'm going to be asking a lot of questions that you might think to yourself that I should have done research and known about from the get-go, but I don't do that research because I want to learn. I want to be entertained. I want to listen and hear all of the answers, just like the listener from of the episode is. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. I fully, fully agree. I'm genuinely shocked that I've done a lot of things that you've been doing, because this is quite literally just like, I think this is what would make sense. So glad I got that right.
It's fun talking to other people that are in the same space or in the same field, because I mean, it's just like a aha moment where it's like, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one that does things like this. So the fact that you and I have agreed on so many different little things, it's very validating to know that I'm not crazy.
It is. I was like, anytime I talk to somebody about how I'm doing this, I'm like, I have no idea if I'm doing this right, but we'll see. Well, that actually leads it to another good question that I think a good question is, what can you give us an insight as to how you're not only just getting guests on your podcast, like how does that work? Do you mainly reach out to people or do people contact you? But then also with sponsors, because I know you have sponsors as well. So kind of give a deep dive into what a successful podcast runs like.
Well, I appreciate you saying that it's a successful thing. I'm not very good at giving myself good feedback or taking compliments. Mm. So to hear you say that, that's nice to hear. But so thank you for that. But great questions, man. I mean, so for getting guests, I've been lucky in the last few months in that Your Morning Drive has gotten to a place where a lot of local business owners, a lot of local creatives, a lot of local people, they want to tell their story. And that's kind of what I've marketed Your Morning Drive as, is that everybody has a story. And that I am here to, I mean, give people that opportunity. So, I mean, I'd say it's a pretty good mix. I would honestly say, though, that it's probably a 60-40, maybe me reaching out to people more than people asking me. But I have had, at least as of, you know, we're recording this in January, as of the last few months, I've had a lot of people coming to me saying, hey, I saw that this person was on your show. Can I be on it too? And I'm always like, yeah, absolutely. If you've got, you know, a story to tell or a business to advertise or a, you know, whatever, come on. And that kind of.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, I feel like what happens is I feel like people don't realize how easy it is to get on a podcast like this. It's really easy.
And I kind of take that mindset and I apply that to when I go and get sponsors. And so the sponsor thing for me didn't happen until 2024. And I'll be honest, man, the sponsor thing, it's hard. It's really hard. I've been doing this for 6-7 years and I haven't had that shit happen until just a year ago. So, I mean, it's a grind, but I'm lucky that the sponsors I work with, they're all local companies. They're all local businesses that believe in me, believe in the podcast, but they believe in me as a good spokesperson for their business. So for example, I mean, one of the companies that I work with, they're called Good Days, and they're a canned cocktail brand. And they are local to Georgia. They started in Marietta. Mm. In Athens. That's where their founders are from. And I bought their product kind of on a whim. And through a mutual friend, I got connected with the people that own it. And fast forward, I was drinking them all year long, like all spring. And I was like, man, this is really good. So I genuinely enjoyed their product. So I was sharing their stuff on my social media just already, not even on the podcast page. Just kind of because I was a fan. And eventually I got cordial with them and got to the point where I was like, hey, I've been doing this already, but can I advertise you guys? And they said, hey, we've loved the exposure that you've given us. A lot of my friends and family that I've introduced to Good Days, they've purchased and become lifelong fans of the brand. So it's really just selling these companies on like, listen, I don't like to think of us as a sponsoree, if that's a word, relationship. Mm. It's more of like, I am your brand advocate. And I only want to work with companies whose either A, the product I believe in and truly love myself, because there's nothing more fake than advertising a product that you don't enjoy yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or a service or a company that, like my other sponsor that I work with, Fireworks, they provide the studio space that I record in. And I truly believe in their space and their staff and their company and what they're doing for the local Marietta community. So I have no problem working with them because I genuinely believe in them. And that's kind of where I kind of try to strategically line up my sponsorship opportunities, is I just want to work with people who I A, believe in, but B, also have a good product or service.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I rambled a lot there. I told you. I'll just
Going. Like we talked about earlier, I'm like, that's perfect, you know, because sometimes I'm going to run out of questions. That's one thing that I've kind of wondered, because it's one of those things where I'm sure it's hard to get people to reach out to you and be like, sponsor me, especially it's kind of like, how do you do that and kind of grow at the same time, because obviously the podcasts are one of those things where it's like, you know, some people will just have the time to dedicate it and it's just like a fun project for them, and that they just like doing it. And for me, that's just how it is right now. And, you know, but it always, with any sort of art or any creative outlet, it's always in the back of your head, like, is there any way I can do this? And obviously maybe not make a huge living, get rich off this. I don't think that's what the practical person is necessarily thinking, but also just, how can I make this something where I can do this and it can be self-sustaining, so I can keep trying to make it better and the best that I can, and so I can keep it growing, but also being able to just, you know, live my own life, right? I guess that's kind of why I ask, you know.
Yeah, dude, you hit the nail on the head there. Is, you know, you're not gonna get rich. You know, you and I, we're not Conan O'Brien, we're not Theo Vaughn, we're not Joe Rogan, we're not Bert Kreischer. We're not making millions of dollars every day based on our names. We're just trying to make it locally. So, I mean, with Good Days, what they did for me, I mean, Good Days is the only sponsor I work with that's actually physically paying me. And it's a good amount for a small local podcast, but it's not, you know, if Conan O'Brien was trying to work with Good Days, he would scoff at it and say, no, that's not for me. But for a long time, my relationship with Good Days was purely barter. Is Good Days would just hook me up with free alcohol. And someone who likes to drink socially, that was great for me. I mean, I barely bought alcohol in 2024. Barely. I mean, maybe $100. Maybe. Because I just had a constant stream of Good Days, because they were like, hey, you advertise for us, we'll give you free alcohol. How's that sound? And I said, that sounds great.
That works.
A lot of, even with like the marketing side of things, like with the Hammerhead Creations business, that, I mean, a lot of the stuff I do, I will barter with people. Like this coming Sunday, I'm interviewing a local photographer, and she owns a photography business. And I said, hey, I actually need to get some headshots done. I don't have any like cool shots of me, like with a microphone or in a studio or anything like that. And I said, instead of paying you your normal rate, what if I just shout your business out for 2 months on the podcast, just to give her some value? And she's like, yeah, let's do it. So, I mean, a lot of those relationships you'll form at the beginning will be purely just, I do this, you do this. But eventually, like Good Days, they became confident in me to the point where they're like, we don't mind throwing you some extra funds, you know, just, you know, again, nothing crazy. But we don't mind throwing you a couple extra bucks just because we think you're doing a good job. And I say, hell yeah. A lot of the relationships you'll form when you first start are purely barter. And bartering is great. because that means I don't have to pay for headshots. This girl's going to do them for me, and all I have to do is advertise on a podcast for her. That's a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it the you said you record in like a studio space? Is it the same type agreement with the studio space?
Absolutely. They give me a certain amount of credit hours that they would have normally charged, you know, a normal person, a normal business owner, customer, whatever. They float me a certain amount of credit per month to use. If I go over that credit, then of course I'll have to pay, but they give me an allowance, I guess, per se. And I advertise, they are the presenting sponsor of my show. So at the beginning of, you know, of every episode, I say, this episode is of course brought to you by Fireworks Co-working, and that's where I record. And in exchange for that, they give me a monthly allowance. So, I mean, they don't pay me physically, but they give me a service, which is better than money, in my opinion, because otherwise I'd be out that money paying for a studio space.
Yeah, because, yeah, that would, yeah, I fully agree. That was one thing I literally was thinking about when I saw that you were using the studio space. Is like, that is a good deal. Like, that's a really good deal. Because, I mean, having just a place, like, as much as as convenient as recording the podcast online is, because I can, because like I've recorded somebody who was initially from Nigeria. I might be recording somebody who's from England, you know?
Right.
So it's one of those things where that's cool, but being able to sit down with somebody and look them in the face and like talk to them. And it's also just a lot more pleasing if you're watching a video, just for, but that's like that's a nice thing to have. Having a studio, having it treating like it's a place that you go into work is it's a very fun thing. I think it's a very nice thing to have.
Yeah, dude, I completely agree. It's very nice. I mean, it's, again, like, I am very blessed to be in this position I am, to have these relationships with these businesses. But, you know, it's all about selling you. Like, it's definitely a confidence thing, which for a long time I struggled with, of being like, you know, thinking about the fact that I have value in the podcast, in my social media channels. Like, you really got to believe in yourself, because that's what I did with Good Days and Fireworks. Is I just said, hey guys, I reach X amount of people a month. I am very active on social media. I'm always out and about in our community. So I am more than just a sponsor. I am like I said earlier, I am a brand advocate. Like, if someone even brings up, oh man, I need a meeting space. Oh, why don't you go to Fireworks Co-working? Or, man, I'm just sick of drinking Trulies, man. What can I get? Oh, how about Good Days? Like,
yeah,
that's just the extra value that I bring to the table, in that I'm not just plugging you in the description of my episodes. Like, I am your guy out and about every day. Like,
yeah, you're like networking
the whole time. I might as well, because that's the kind of relationship that I bring to the table. And that's what you have to do as well. Just as a little bit of advice that you didn't ask for, of just like, you just got to sell yourself.
Yeah, no, for real. Thank you. It's one of those things where I was, obviously it's not really on my mind now, because I'm just getting off the ground, getting the ball rolling. But it's one of those things where I do see what you mean. I get, you know, I've had, obviously the people I've had are all very, do very similar things. And so, you know, I've had someone be like, oh, it's nice when I ever get to talk to people who, like, let's say it's do short films. And so I can kind of like network those people and be like, oh, this person, oh, you should, like, you guys should talk, you know? Like, I've talked with a lot of people about having, like, almost, like, at the end of the year, like, a year from now, just being, like, having, like, a group call or, like, a group meet or something where all these people can just kind of gather, you know? Because it's not, like, exclusive. I personally think everybody's creative, but there's certain people who just pursue it more than others. And I guess that kind of leads into my next question of, like, what were some of your biggest inspirations to start a podcast? And what inspired you to start a podcast? And if there were creative inspirations in your life growing up?
Yeah, Great. That's a great question. So I'll answer that second part of it right off the rip. I did not have any creative inspirations growing up. My parents, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad works in commercial construction. So he is a very numbers, procedures, operational kind of guy. So he didn't really, I don't want to say he's not a creative guy because that's not true, but I didn't grow up in that kind of household where I guess you can consider podcasts a form of art, where I didn't grow up in a house where art, in quotation marks, was like stressed or encouraged. Yeah. It was more like go to college, get your degree in engineering, and then go be an engineer, which is nothing wrong with that. I mean, some of my siblings have gone on to do that. I just kind of had this little thing within me. And obviously, I'm good at talking. That was always a thing that my parents said is that I would talk nonstop as a kid. And I would, whenever I would get to know somebody new, I would really, really try to talk to them and really get to know them, like on a real level. And I guess you could say that kind of helps with the whole I sit down and interview people. But
yeah,
why I decided to do it, I mean, I had listened to a bunch of podcasts for about a year. And one day I think I just woke up and I was like, I could do that. I mean, those guys do it. Why can't I? I think I was listening to like a Barstool Sports podcast. And I was just like,
oh, yeah,
I can do what these guys do. Like, I mean, these guys are having fun every day and that's their job. I mean, think about how lucky they are. They get to go to a place, record podcasts, and I'm sure they do other stuff, but a lot of their day is like, oh, I got 3 podcast recordings today and that's their job. Are you kidding? So I was like, I can do that. So I went to Best Buy, bought a mic and started a podcast that day. I didn't even blink.
There you go. That's why just
on a hill. That's the kind of dude I am. Once I get an idea, I kind of get fixated on it and I just jump in and, you know, I've rebranded a few times, so I probably should have thought it through a little bit, but I just did the damn thing and here we are.
Yeah, that's definitely, I like to always call it, it's like that itch. It's like that itch you get like 3 a.m. in the morning and you're like, oh crap, I just had a great idea, you know? Yeah. And I love that part of me. I love just being able to just have those thoughts and just like jump on them and do them and not just, you know, and that's one thing that I battle when thinking about the future is kind of is you do obviously, you know, to some extent, you know, sometimes you can't pursue something that's artistic and creative and make that your whole life. You know, sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes you're not lucky enough to be able to do that. But I'm also, regardless, I don't want to just completely cut that out, you know, and so it's one of those things where I really hope that, you know, regardless of what happens to this podcast, that I'm able to do it long term and just do it for fun.
Yeah, dude. I mean, ultimately, I think I started it out with the intention of like, I just want to have fun. And, you know, if it gets to the point where I'm making money from it, and eventually if it came to the place where I could quit my full-time job, because I do still have a full-time job, if I could quit my job and do this full-time, like, hell freaking yeah, I'm going to do it. But for right now, I'm just enjoying the fact that I get to do this in addition to my job, and then my wife lets me do it. She doesn't care. You know, a lot of guys have golf or a sport that they do. Well, I podcast and that's my thing and she lets me do it. And she's a great encourager of mine and she's a great motivator, but you know, I'm getting to chat every week with really, really cool people in our local Cherokee, Cobb, Bartow, et cetera, communities. And I'm cool with that. But again, I mean, if a podcast deal falls in my lap and I get to quit my job, of course I'm not going to turn it down. But
yeah,
as of right now, I'm just chilling and having a good time.
Yeah, it's still very, I think it's very, very real possibility for you. I mean, I think it's possible for anybody. It's just because we're in this new realm of social media where there are so many different platforms where there's just all eyes and it's just getting the eyes to look at you. And I think that's really cool. And it's like, now is a great time to take advantage of it. Because I was thinking about this, and anytime I see a new social media app, I'm like, I'm buying that and I'm putting stuff on there. Because if I could go back, what, I don't even know how long TikTok's been out, but 5, 10 years ago, I don't know, no, it's not 10 years ago. So it's like 4 or 5 years ago, and be that first, be one of those first accounts on TikTok making those videos. Like, who knows where things would be at that point? Because a lot of those, because really getting in on these things quick, especially like with YouTube, it's like just catching it. And I think it's not a matter of like when you'll get that success. It's just how. I think it'll happen overnight. Not that success, but like extra boost that makes it something where you can start committing more time to it.
Sure. Yeah. Definitely the goal. But you know, until that happens, we're just hanging out, we're having fun. And you know, if there's anything I've learned through the process, is that just community is everything, dude. Like, if you would have told me 5 years ago that my favorite social media app today would be LinkedIn, solely because of the professional connections and relationships I've started to build, but just by doing this podcast, I would say you're crazy. But I'd say just lean in on your people in your life, you know, your network. I hate using that word because I feel like people use it so much, as your network. It sounds so corporate.
Just
lean in on that and you'll have great guests off the rip. And I mean, everybody knows somebody, and I've gotten some of my best guests just by knowing somebody. So it's all about who you know nowadays, man. So, I mean, take advantage of who you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That kind of answered my other question. So I don't need to ask that one anymore, but that's usually my last question. Usually what's the advice, but that's pretty good advice right there. Well, there's one thing, this is so unrelated and not a great question to be asking towards the end, but I just realized your Morning Drive is such a great name. I don't know how that's your, like, I like looked up on Spotify just to see if there was any ones with a similar name, and there wasn't any, and I don't see how that's even possible. Like, is that name just feels like the perfect name, I'm going to be straight up, because it's just one of those names where it's like, it just fits. I'm just shocked that nobody's really taken that yet.
Dude, let me tell you, when I was that night that I was talking about earlier, where I was like throwing stuff at the wall and just figuring out what stuck, when I thought of your Morning Drive, I remember we were sitting on the couch and we were just throwing, me and my wife were just throwing names back and forth. And I was like, your Morning Drive. And she was like, I like that. And I was like, yeah, but surely it's taken. And so I go to I look up the domain, it's available. I go to Apple, look up the podcast, nothing. Go to yourmorningdrive.com, nothing. Look at Instagram, the handle is available. I was like, holy shit, this is, again, another God moment of like, this is it. Like, every name, even the Binge Boys, even Hold On To Your Butts, all of that, even Logan's Lowdown exists.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right. Even your Morning Drive didn't exist. And I was like, oh yeah, baby. If it doesn't exist, I am securing that shit right now. Like,
I just thought about that. I was like, he must have been doing this for 30 plus years now. I mean, he must have been there when they invented podcasts. I mean,
oh God, no, dude. I just got lucky. I mean, people ask me that all the time. That might be one of the most frequently asked questions I get, is like, how'd you get that name? And it's like, I don't know. God, I guess. I mean, I have no other good answer.
Podcast gods decided it was fate.
Honestly, they really did. The Joe Rogan and other podcast gods were like, let's give him that name. And I got it. I don't know how, though, if I'm honest.
Yeah, no, for that's a great, yeah, that's a, yeah, for sure. I just thought about that when you brought it up, that. Well, that kind of brings us to our final moments. Is there anything else you would just you would leave to people, even though we kind of already, is there anything else you'd leave to people in your similar situation from starting out and from your position right now? Is there any bit of advice you would give them?
Yeah. To people pursuing any business, to you trying to grow this thing, really, all I can say is that consistency is the biggest superpower. I mean, like I said, for years and years and years, I was lucky to get 20 views on an episode. I mean, every once in a while, we would cover a big movie like Endgame or Avengers or something huge that would attract a lot of people. But for the most part, I was getting 10, 15, 20, maybe 50 views an episode. And it was just so disheartening because I don't know how many times I thought about quitting. But ultimately, I was like, you know what? I love this thing so much. I will do it until the day I die or the day that my wife tells me I have to quit. We don't have kids yet, but I'm sure when we do, that will look differently.
Of course.
But ultimately, consistency. I mean, people, someone even from my full-time job the other day, we were in a meeting and he was like, hey, by the way, Logan, I was just looking up your podcast and the fact that you've done this for so long is so cool. And that was some cool feedback to hear from someone I didn't expect it. It was the COO of my company. The second in charge of the entire company said, Logan, that's really cool that you've done this for so long consistently, not skipping a beat. And I was like, well, thanks. He was like, it just shows how committed and how your work ethic is. And so ultimately, whether you think people are seeing your stuff, whether you are a business owner or a YouTuber or a podcaster or whatever, people are seeing it. It does. I know it sounds cliche, but people see your stuff. They might not like it. They might not comment on it. They might not listen to it, but people are seeing you. Like just know that. I mean, it's really easy to get in your head about it, but people see your stuff and just believe in yourself. As cliche and cheesy as all of that sounds, just believe in yourself.
Well, thank you for being on. This has been a really great conversation, and I think I learned a lot from this, and hopefully people listening, if there's somebody out there who's like, I want to start a podcast, well, here you go. Here's your reason to do so. Well, thank you guys for listening. We will have some links down in the bio or wherever you're listening to this to where you can find the Remorning Drive podcast or anything else like that. But other than that, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Logan, and have a great day. All right. Thank you very much.